Page 14, Kneel at the Cross. Amen. Hope you all had a good afternoon. It's good to see everyone. Missing a few, but that's okay. I do ask you to keep Sister Hope in prayer, keep the Weaver families in prayer, and just pray for the safety of the church and the well-being as well. I do keep Brother Carey in prayer. I have not talked to him his mom in the last couple of days, but keep them in prayer. And her brother Charles as well. I know I had updated that Wednesday night, but do keep them all in prayer. Page number 14, Kneel at the Cross. If you're there, let's stand. I know you're going to say, preacher says kneel. That's okay. We're going to stand for it, all right? Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice. Leave with him your care and be kneel at the cross, leave every care, kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
It's
written in B flat, but it's high.
It's kind of high.
Mm-hmm. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. On the third, kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, every care, kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Amen. Brother Jackie, open us in prayer, please. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I'm going to take requests from the floor. Don't do this a whole lot, and there's a reason why. But we'll take some requests. Now, if I don't know it, you got to lead it. So, yes, ma'am.
There's a song I like. I'm not sure what page it's on. It's
How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. Well, let's see if we can sing it. It must be page 39. Page 39. Amen. Yes, it is. Amen. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he hath given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful.
beautiful heaven must be on the third. Waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary, how beautiful heaven must be. On the last now, y'all singing with me? All right, here we go. The angels so sweetly are singing, up there by the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Amen. All right, Brother Jackie. Praise Him. 164. 164. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him. 164. Amen. I don't?
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I don't know. This is the other one. Amen. Amen. I was slow catching on there. I agree. Amen. Here we go.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song on the last. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
All right, Lizzie, what you got? 187? Amen, 187. Amen. That's a good one too. Amen. Now, you know, as much as we sing this as a child's song or as a children's song, listen to the verses as we sing this. Especially the second two verses, or the last two verses, the second and third really have a great message to them. And it's not that the first one doesn't. Jesus loves me. I believe everyone needs to know that, but then you see verses 2 and 3, and they really explain how deep His love is. All right, brother, you ready?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. On the last, Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for Thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Anyone else? Got another one. Got another one. All right, now don't everyone speak up at once.
185.
185, my Savior's love. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. I'm sure Brother Richard's probably going 143.
I was surprised somebody hollering out 243.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Victory in Jesus or 244. Amazing grace. Amen. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, He prayed not my will but Thine. He had no tears for His own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. On the third, He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. One more. One more. Yes, ma'am. 55. When the roll is called up yonder. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 55.
Richard's
going to
be disappointed.
Yes, he is. I'm surprised he's not screaming through the YouTube. He's my phone. I did put it on vibrate, so my phone's probably going off. He's trying to text me by now. And I have a not-so-smart watch. You know, it's one of those that actually has the numbers around it and the arms that move. Amen. It doesn't tell me if I've got a text coming in. Amen. All right, here we go. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On the last, let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen, amen. I got to stop there. I think I pulled something on that last yonder. Amen. So praise the Lord. You know, I enjoy singing. You should have a song in your heart.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a performance. But I'm talking about coming to a place where God has put a song in your heart that you're able to just really sing and praise Him with it and just enjoy Him. You know, they've done research. Jacob, I have got the pulpit mic on too, if you wouldn't mind turning that off. Thank you. And they have done research to figure out what songs are best to play at grocery stores so that you'll buy, or stores so that you'll buy the most product. And they've got songs, or they've done research to figure out what, you know, is going to make someone happy or make someone sad or whatever. But the child of God should have a song in their heart that God puts in there. And, you know, there's times, and it might not even be a song that we've sang that's written. Sometimes the best song that you can have in your heart is one that you're just praising Him for it. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I just don't get it. I mean, if it's not a song, how can it be a song?" Because I can have a melody in my heart that's never been penned on paper that He's given me. And He can be that joy and just that sweet fellowship that I have with Him. And, you know, my grandfather always whistled when he was working. And I know he wasn't an elf or a dwarf, amen, but he always whistled while he was working, and he always had the same tune, and I can't even give you that tune today, but he always whistled the same tune, and I definitely picked it up. I will hum, or I'll whistle, or I'll sing while I'm doing, and it's just the fact that I've got something in there that's always got to come out. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start back over at verse number 1 and look at this. And we'll look at the first 9 verses here and we'll get started. I'm going to preach the second part, or the rest of this morning's message, as we look here at the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1. So when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word and give you opportunity, stretch your legs, get ready to go. And I was mindful this morning. I didn't want to preach those other 2 points. I was afraid I'd kill us. And
It also takes a lot out of the preacher, too. Preaching takes a lot out. So, anyway, Joshua 1 and verse number 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place." Now notice this. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon," because this is where we're going to pick up. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for the sweet promises that we have. Lord, I'm thankful for the account of Joshua as they travel into that land of inheritance, Lord. And Father, I know that we don't have a place promise, but instead we have a person, Lord, that we can come into you. And Father, as we look for the spiritual victory that they had and was able to gain, Lord, we want that same closeness. We want that same commitment, Lord, that they had and that they seen, Lord. I want to see some walls go down in our life, Lord. I want to see some victories, Lord, instead of defeat. And Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, that would be everyone's desire. Lord, that we're tired of the defeats and the discouragements and the disappointments of this life, Lord. Instead, we'd rather have victory in you. And Lord, help us tonight, Father, as we grow closer to you and look for conquering that spiritual victory, Lord. And we'll just give you the praise for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We had looked at this morning in some detail. We started off with the change of command. And, you know, I'm thankful that you're here tonight. It's amazing to me how many people attend a church or go to a church or are a member of a church out of obligation instead of out of joy. And we'll look at the detail of the church just a little bit greater here in just a little bit. But it is a blessing to be a child of God. And there's blessings that come with it. You know, it would do no good to be a child of God and expect God's blessings upon you, but yet you never go and get your cup filled. I think of the psalmist David as he had lifted up his cup, and that should be where all of us are. We want our cup to be full from the Lord. And God's desire is to fill it. He doesn't want us to be empty. In fact, He's promised us the Holy Spirit to fill us if we'll let it. Amen. And so as we consider what God's doing here, we can have this victory. And I'm not going to give a long introduction. We just had this morning. But we do need to come to the place where it's not out of obligation, but instead it's out of delight and desire to follow Him. And then we had came to the place where we're going to be committed. There's no need in waiting. Procrastination is not going to bring you closer to victory. It's only going to bring you closer to defeat. And so it's time to get up. He had told him, look, my servant Moses is dead. There's no need of mourning him. There's no need of worrying. And if we would even go back and remember the account, they didn't even know where his body was. God took care of that. Now, we could jump over to the book of Revelation, and I believe I could show you in Scripture where he's going to show up again. Amen? We know there in the book of, in the Gospels, at the Mount of Transfiguration, he showed up again, did he not? Elijah and Moses had showed up there. They were the two witnesses. And then you could even say there at the empty tomb, there was two witnesses that showed up. The Bible doesn't tell us who they were, but it's just kind of amazing how God uses these same two witnesses over and over and over. Amen. There's a reason that they didn't have the body, because you know what they would have done? They would have made it a monument. And it wasn't about the man. It was about God. He said, don't worry about it. Let's go ahead. Let's approach this victory. Let's go ahead and get over that Jordan now. And it's the only avenue that you have. There's only one way you're going to get there. And I'm thankful as a child of God. I'm not looking for another Savior. But I'm also not looking for success in any other place. I'm not looking for success in self. As I look at this avenue and I realize this Jordan that they had to face, they had to come to it in faith. When we get to our Jordan, when we get to that place where God's going to have us cross, we've got to have it in faith that it's not in what we can do, it's in what He's going to do. There's many people looking for a spiritual victory on what they can do. I'm just going to... It goes back to that plan. And so, all right, now I'll tell you, read your Bible for 30 days, for 30 minutes, you're going to see a change. I promise you, 30 days, 30 minutes, you're going to see a change. But that doesn't mean you'll have spiritual victory. And there's many times we have that checklist, or I'm sure that they're floating around out there on social media, that if you'll do these items, you're going to gain spiritual victory. The problem is if Christ isn't the one that you're going to have spiritual victory through, you'll never have it. Amen. You'll never have it. And so they had to come to that Jordan. The only avenue, the only place that they could cross was right there. The only way they were getting across was to have faith in Him. They had to put their foot down in the water and let Him part the water after they were already there, after they had already got in. And so we look as well tonight, if we're going to conquer spiritual victory, we need to clarify confinement. We need to clarify confinement. Notice back in verse number 3 and 4. I want you to see this, and God really began to stir my heart on this because I've heard it so many times. I've heard that this is confining, that the Christian life won't allow me to do what I want to do. Now, I'll be honest, it won't allow your flesh to do what you want it to do or what it wants to do. Even the Apostle Paul fought with the flesh. We all fight with the flesh. And so there has to come a time where we're going to clarify what confinement really is. Notice in verse number 3 and 4 of Joshua 1, the Bible says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Sounds like they were pretty wide borders. Every place that your foot goes, every piece of land that you step on, it's yours. Now, could you imagine? I'm not going to tell you that God made a mistake. But I could see myself as one of those when America was young. A lot of adventure, and I can go out and clear some area, and I'm gonna stake out this area, and this is going to be my area. And I could see that. I think that would have been good. Well, how do you know it's yours? Because I walked there. I remember, you know that tree over there? Yeah, that's my tree. I mean, this is what he's telling them. Everywhere that your foot touched, that's where I had told Moses it was going to be yours. And by the way, he really could have went back further. I'd promised Abraham. I'd promised Isaac. I'd promised Jacob. All three of those had already known about the promise of God. And then God went ahead and he showed Moses, because they had 400 years while they were in Egypt. And God said, look, Moses, this is going to be their land. Go ahead, go out and espy the land. Everywhere that their foot touches, they're going to have it. Sounds like confinement to me, doesn't it? Not really. But yet, most of the time, we don't have spiritual victory because it might be a little bit too confining. May I tell you that God is anything but confining? He's liberating. He's liberating. He gives real freedom. Notice as well, if we'd look on down into verse 4, he says, from this wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Do you understand the vast amount of area that they had? And yet we say that it's confining. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, if we're going to have spiritual victory, we can never disregard our deliverance. You know the problem that the children of Israel faced any time that adversity came before them? They were always ready to turn and go back to Egypt. Any time that there was something in their face that they didn't like, any time it was a little uncomfortable for them, oh, it would have been better if we would have just died in Egypt. Oh, it would have been better if we would have just stayed under Pharaoh's command in Egypt. What they forgot is that they were a slave, they were in bondage, and God had delivered them. In fact, today, we forget the severity of our bondage. And so often we classify it as the good old days. I remember a song, and I haven't sang it in a long time. Brother James used to sing it every once in a while, and I'd hear some others singing it. But it was talking about, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go to the places I used to go. Thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary. Hold on a second. What's happened today, and one of the reasons why we're so quick to get defeated, one of the reasons we're so quick to never cross, is because we forgot how great our deliverance is. We forgot how great Calvary is. We forgot how great our Savior is. They would say that Egypt really wasn't that bad. You know, I really was good. I had it better. I had a better time. I often use Brother Russell's testimony. When Brother Russell and Sister Hope started coming to the church, it was the Sunday after my ordination in 07. And Brother Russell got saved in August of 07. And after Brother Russell got saved, I'm surprised that they hadn't tried to write a country western song after it, because everything in his life broke down. I mean, his washing machine, if he had it and it was supposed to work, it worked backwards. It broke. It didn't work at all. Something was wrong with it. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He could have easily said at that point, it was better a week ago. I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to go back to my life. Don't think that Satan wasn't trying to discourage him. Don't think that Satan wasn't trying to tell him that it was better before. May I tell you that so many people want to come, they make a profession, they get up, and they turn, and they go. I'm not saying they're not saved. I don't know their heart. But I am telling you they don't have victory because they wanted to go back to Egypt. And because they went back to Egypt, now, instead of having victory, they've seen their greatest defeat. And they're back in bondage to sin. Oh, I never want to forget Calvary. I don't want to forget the nail-pierced hands. I don't want to forget the riven side. I don't want to forget the empty tomb. I don't want to forget the death of sin that He died for me and the life that He's given me as the risen Savior. And so I find as well that we can never disregard our deliverance, but we can have real delight in our inheritance. Did you see the vastness? Now, I don't know what it would be like to have every place that your foot went on is yours. But I remember as a child when I was growing up, my grandma and grandpa owned 40 acres. And the Verdigris River was the southern border of grandpa's property. Northern border of grandpa's property. And no one really went down there. Grandpa and I went down every once in a while together as we'd go squirrel hunt. But my cousin and I went down there a lot. That's where you go and you play. Amen. I mean, you say, preacher, what'd you play? Well, you know, it had some ravines, and boy, you could go down there and you could just have a good time. You could go and just mess with the shells, the fresh freshwater oysters or clams or whatever they were. You could mess with those. And then when the river got really low, it'd stink. And so you stayed away from that and you just played up there and tried to stay out of the poison ivy. But you'd go out there. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" It seemed like it went forever. It was only 40 acres. And today it's like, all right, it's only 40 acres. But as a kid, boy, it seemed like it took me all day to walk from all the way around the perimeter of that 40 acres. And then you'd have to cross the road to go to the last. He had 20 where the house was and 20 below the house. And you could go and see all of that. And boy, it was just, it was amazing. It was amazing how much land he had. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I don't understand the importance of land." Hold on a second. Because I want you to see what God's given us. We can enjoy the vastness of our inheritance. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now some of you are going to say, "Well, preacher, they're unsearchable. That means that we cannot understand them." No, that means that you can't find an end to them. That's what it's not saying it's unsearchable in the fact that you can't know it. And there's people out there today that believe that you really can't know who God is. My Bible says otherwise. In fact, God wants us to know who He is because He knows who we are. And in that, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Jacob, I'm just going to go ahead and let you know that you're not going to have much inheritance from mom and dad. All right? If the Lord tarries and mom and dad pass away, and at the most, you might get a little bit of land. You might get a little bit of a house that you're going to split with your other two brothers. You're not going to be rich. You're not going to be rich off of mom and dad's. You will find an end to your inheritance from mom and dad. But with Christ, with God, there is no end to the riches. I know we always use John 10 and verse number 10 that he came to bring life and life more abundantly, and that we can have that abundant life. And yet to some it's just words. Do we really understand what it is to have an abundant life? That means a life that's always bounding, leaps and bounds. You know, may I tell you that the children of God are still the blessed children of America? Even though, now listen, God is merciful and He blesses this entire world because He's gracious. But I'm His child. Lizzie, I love you, young lady. And if you needed something, your preacher will do everything that he can to help you. But I have three boys that there's no one in the church that would take the place of. You understand what I'm saying? They're mine. And God, He looks down, and I have an abundant life. Anywhere my foot touches, God's with me, blessing me. Everywhere I go, every border that I come to, every place that I am, God's there already provided. God's there already blessing. And yet, we want to say, "Well, preacher, you know, if I have to live by the Bible, it's just going to cramp my style." Praise the Lord, crucify it. Amen. I want to be the blessed one. I don't want to be the held back one. And so I look here that there's a real delight. I'm enjoying the vastness of our inheritance, and I'm enjoying the elements of our inheritance. Now, I was looking at this and just kind of began to think about some things as God had revealed it here. And I find in verse number 4, He's talking about the actual places. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. And I just began to think about the river and why He would make sure He put that out there. May I tell you that we have, take your Bibles, look over at John chapter 4. We have a river in our inheritance. We have a river in our inheritance. I'm talking about as a child of God. Not that we need to go over there and claim the Euphrates. It's not ours. This was given to the children of Israel. But I have a river, and you have a river. In John chapter number 4. we have a river within us. In John chapter number 4, I want you to look at, we're going to start off in verse number 14, and then we'll go over to John 7. But John chapter number 4, look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And look on over into John 7, and look at verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. In John chapter number 7 and verse number 37, the Bible says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we find here that we have a river flowing within us. It's called the Holy Spirit. I have a well that'll never be dry. I have a place where I can always come for a cool drink. I have that comforter we just sang this morning. And yes, I picked out the songs. I sang it on purpose, that the comforter has come. Oh, I'm thankful. Listen, God has not only blessed me with a place of inheritance, but He's blessed me with the possessions that I've inherited. He's came in and He's supplied. But then I look as well and I think about this land that He's describing. And He says all the land of the Hittites. And if you'd go back and study out in the book of Numbers, study out even here in the book of, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and even in Joshua, you find as the cities of refuge are laid out, He's given a place for the one who was the innocent, and I'm going to say this, and you're going to go, how in the world were they innocent? But the innocent manslayer. So if Brother Scooter and I was out chopping wood, and this is even actually one of the illustrations that they use, out chopping wood, and Brother Scooter's axe flies off, his axe head flies off, and it hits me in the head, and it kills me, that my family can't come after him and revenge my blood upon him, because there was no hate before, there was no, it wasn't on purpose, and so he could go to this place and my blood wouldn't be upon him. And you say, what are you getting at? We don't have that kind of a place, do we? But we have that kind of a person. You see, the cities of refuge were not and you had to stay there till the high priest died. Now hold on a second, may I tell you who our high priest is? The one that's never going to die. Amen. That we can stay in Him and we can dwell in Him and Him in us. But then I look as well and I think about all this area that He's given us and all of this inheritance that we can enjoy, enjoying the elements of our inheritance. May I tell you something that we've inherited? The church. It's not ours, by the way. It's His. But we're able to come. You know, I was thinking, Brother Jackie, I was thinking about it as a FARP. And I know some of you are going to go, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it's a forward ammo or a fuel and ammo supply point, refuel point. Or a forward ammo and refuel point, I believe is actually what it stands for. But it's one that would be in the middle of the hot zone. It's one that as you're just came out of this conflict, and you would meet up and the helicopters would be there, or the helicopters, we had it where there was big fuel blivets that would be dropped off, and we would airlift those and drop them out, heavy lift, heavy drops. And you would drop them out and there would be ammo and there would be fuel so that even the aircraft could come and they could fuel from it. The vehicles could fuel from it. And then you would go to your next destination or your next place, or maybe it was even just so you could get back home. May I tell you that that's what the church is. We're here so that we can come and we can reload and we can regroup and we can re-strengthen and we can get charged back. And you say, preacher, am I going into battle sooner than you think? It might not be as soon as you get out the door, but it's going to be soon after that. Satan's going to do everything he can to try to deflate you, discourage you, defeat you. The Bible says devour. And so we look at that. We need that. And this is one of our inheritance. It's our... Hold on a second. It's not a privilege to come to church. It's God's inheritance that we get to be a part of. He's given it to us. As much as the church is the bride of Christ, you know why it's still here? Because, and don't get super spiritual on me. You say, well, that's because it hasn't been raptured yet. But it's because we need it. We need the church. We need this family and this closeness. And you know, I'm thankful for some other churches that I know of like faith. But to be honest with you, they don't strengthen me. But here does. We've got to have... We are a church. We are a body. I was talking to Brother Sutton this afternoon, and you know, there's people out there that believe that, well, we're part of the body. No, hold on a second. We are the body of Christ. You go ahead, cut your arm off, and guess what? It dies. It rots because it's no longer attached to the body. We are the body of Christ right here. Christ is the head. Now, I'm thankful that there's others of like faith. I'm thankful there's others of like standing. But we, our element to enjoy is right here and what joy we can have in it. Notice as well, we look here, and if we're going to conquer spiritual victory, we look at the fact that we are complete to conquer. In verses 5 through 9, we find that God has already given us all the provisions necessary to succeed. I get aggravated at parents that hold such high expectations to their children that they're going to fail. Children need to be taught how to succeed. And I'm not saying that they don't learn from falling. But if you've set such a high goal that they can never climb or never achieve, then they'll never know what it is to succeed. And they'll come to this mindset that they're just going to fail anyway. God didn't set us up to fail. God's provided everything we need to succeed. I look here and I find in verses 5 through 9 that we can prosper through His provisions. Notice this. I want to read these few verses again just to get them fresh in your mind. And I want you to kind of hold them in your thoughts here. But notice this. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Now he's speaking to Joshua himself. He says, look, as I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Isn't it good that God's given us that? You say, preacher, that's for Joshua. You just said that. Yeah, but I know the New Testament. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so I look here and I find in verse number 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. You know what he's saying? You're going to succeed. Otherwise, he'd say they're going to drive you back out. You remember when they went over in Kadesh Barnea and they had spied out the land, and the 12 came back, and Joshua and Caleb gave the good report, and the 10 gave the wicked report, and they had turned the hearts of Israel, and they said that we're not going to go in. There's no way that we're going to do this. And God said, fine, you're not going to do it. Your children, the ones that you thought were going to be the prey, the ones that you thought would be destroyed, I'm going to let them come in, and I'm going to kill you in the wilderness. And they said, hold on a second. I don't like that option. Is there an option C? We'll go and fight. We'll go now. And Moses said, don't you dare. God's not with you in this. You've already made up your mind. God said, fine, I'll accept it. And you've got to go. And they went and they tried. And they got drove out. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? They haven't crossed the Jordan yet. And God said, look, you're going to divide the land. What's he saying? You're going to remove the inhabitants that are already here. Because this is your inheritance. And you're going to divide it out, and you're going to give each one their portion that they have coming and each place that they have for them. And so we look here and he says that be strong and of good courage there in verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land that which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so I look here and I find the prospering through his provisions. He's given us everything we need to keep our minds clear. May I tell you, the place that Satan gets first is your head. You'll start the thoughts. That's what he did with Eve. And did God not say, look how good that fruit is? What did he do? He got in her head. He deceived her. He got in her head. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13, the Bible says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, in the days of the priest in their robes, they would have it when they were, they would actually touch the ground. They would I wouldn't say drag, but they would definitely hit the ground. And so they would get to that place that if they were doing work, they would take that and they would wrap it up in their girdle, and they would gird it up. They would bring it up and they would wrap it, and it was not that they were naked underneath, but they would gird that up and they would bring that skirt or that robe up to where it wouldn't drag the ground. It wouldn't get caught on anything. I remember my shop teacher in junior high. He always wore a Captain Clip-On tie. Say, preacher, what's Captain Clip-On tie? They would always call them Captain Clip-Ons when I was in high school because, you know, you wasn't cool unless you knew how to tie a tie. And now I've tied so many ties, I'm like, I don't know that it's cool. I might go back to Clip-Ons. But, you know, he always wore that. And you say, well, preacher, why would your shop teacher wear it? And he showed us one time as he was operating the table saw. And this is dangling around, and the table saw grabs a hold of it, and it just yanks it off. May I tell you what Satan has done? We've got it to where our mind is out there in so many places that we haven't girded up. And God's given us everything that we need to keep our mind from being tangled in this world's web. And this world has spun such a web. Satan knows, listen, I hate to say that I'm bragging on him, but he knows what he's doing. He knows how to deceive. He's been at this a lot longer than you have. And he knows how to trip you up. He knows how to lay that snare to where it doesn't look like a snare. He knows how to set that to where he can get in your mind. And yet, God tells us here, I've given you everything that you need to succeed, because you can keep your minds clear. Then I find as well that I can prosper through his provisions, because not just in keeping our minds clear, but keeping our hearts clean. Now, I told you earlier, if you're only following the Word of God because of obligation, you're following for the wrong reason. But if you're obeying him and you're surrendering to him and you're wanting to live for him out of love for him, then it'll actually keep your heart clean. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I know that there's some that look at the way that I try to live my life as extreme, but I don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. First of all, I have 4 that are behind me, right behind me, that I don't want to stumble. I have a wife and I have 3 boys that I want to be the example that I need to be for them. Then I find that I have others that are going to follow, not even just the church, but others that find out others that watch. It's amazing at how many people know who you are and you don't even know who they are. In verse number 7 and verse number 8 both, he says, observe to do. In the book of James, God teaches us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. There's plenty that know and don't do. And so, we can keep our hearts clean and prosper through His provisions. But then I find as well that we can prosper through His person. Why can I be strong and very courageous? Why can I have good courage? Why can I be prosperous? In verse number 8, he says that if we'll do according to all that he has written, thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. But notice this, look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed? Why? Because he's given me not just his word, not just a way to know how to live, but he's given himself that I can live in him. And I can have that relationship and that closeness with him. He's the reason I'm not going to fail. He's the reason I can have victory. He's the only way that anyone is going to be spiritually victorious. He says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Huh. You mean when I'm over here, he's with me? That's what he means. Well, what about if I come over here? Yeah, he's with me. We don't understand. We just sang My Savior's Love. We don't really fathom the love that God has. We can't explain it because we've never loved that way. There's some folks in this world that I really don't care a whole lot for. I'm just being honest. I know you're going to go, preacher, I thought we were supposed to love everyone. Some people are hard to love. Some people I really don't like. But God loved them all. The same promises He's given me, they can have too. Amen. We don't know that kind of love. We really don't. As much as we'd say, I know how to love unconditionally, that only goes so far, doesn't it? I'm just trying to be honest. It only goes so far. But not with Him. And He says, look, you can succeed, not because of you, but because I want this relationship with you. Do you know the one that wants you to succeed spiritually more than you do? God does. The one that died for you. The one that saved you. The one that delivered you from the bonds of sin. He said, I want you to be more victorious than you do. And I've provided everything you need. And I'm going to be with you the whole way to get you there. Isn't that good? He said, preacher, I've got a road map. Well, we've got the Bible, but I don't know about you. Instead of a road map, I'd rather have a tour guide. Amen. Hey, he's just going to take me the whole way. He knows all the right turns. He knows all the right places to avoid danger. Amen. You say, preacher, there's some roads that we've got to go down that, boy, they seem kind of bumpy. You must have been down our road. But you ought to see the other one. It's not passable. And so he's brought you down the bumpy road instead of the one that's not passable. God wants us to succeed more than we do. He says, you know what? I've provided everything you need. I've given you my word, and you can meditate upon it, and you can follow it, and you can observe, and you're going to be prosperous. May I tell you that there's many businessmen, I hate to say of time past now, but there's many businessmen that were not saved, that they just applied the principles out of God's word, and they were successful. But But there's no one that's going to be really successful until we are walking with Him, whithersoever thou goest. Now, we could go back to verse number 3, and it said, wherever the sole of your foot is, it's yours. Why? Because He's right there with you. I don't know how it was in the days of, you know, you get to claim your own property, and this is my little square. But I can just see Him everywhere. Now listen, the Bible tells us that He's whithersoever thou goest, He's there. And so if the soul touches the foot and that's mine, I can see Him writing it down. Yep, that's His. That's His. That's His. Remember that portion that He gave us, that mountain that we can claim and climb? Now we can get there because we can cross that Jordan. We can get there because there's going to be some battles. We could look at getting all the way to Caleb's inheritance. Caleb had to fight some battles. But who was there to fight them? They brought down walls that were not destructible. And yet they were destroyed just by marching around them. I don't watch the Hitler Channel, but I know that they did a... You say, what's the Hitler Channel? Well, some people call it the History Channel. But I don't watch the Hitler Channel and all of those, but I know that they did a documentary on the way that the walls of Jericho had fallen. And they said it was because of the mass amount of people. And even why do you go to route step on a bridge? They say that the vibration will make the bridge collapse. And because of the vibration of all of these people walking around it in a certain amount of time, in a certain short of a distance, and all of this, that it made the walls collapse. And you know, in the Greek, it's pronounced baloney. You know why those walls came down? Because God said, whithersoever thou goest. We can have that victory. 2021 can be a victorious year for the child of God. Doesn't have to be a year of pain. You say, preacher, we're not going to have any pain. No, I'm talking about the heartache pain. We can just rely on Him. Rest in Him, follow Him, be victorious in Him, praise Him, and rejoice the whole way home. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Father, I thank You for the truth that we have in Your Word, that we can have victory. Lord, I don't have to wait for some plan to come out, but Lord, You've spelled it out in Your Word. And Lord, that we would draw ever so close to You, that we could rejoice in the victory that You've given. Help us tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. Be a good time to come. You say, preacher, I need that victory. We all do. Every last one of us need that victory. Every last one of us. Now, you're going to have to wake up in the morning
David
delighting in Him.
Sang the praises of the glory.
Open up your Bible.
Of Jehovah.
Just rejoice
Paul
in what He's doing.
That
rejoice in who He is.
Save no
come to that place where we don't feel confined anymore. But instead, I'm enlarged through my Christian walk. I'm enlarged by walking with Him. I can enjoy the elements of mine inheritance. I've got a Holy Spirit in me that when I'm troubled, He comforts me. When I need direction, He shines the light.
Did I mention
I've got a person I can go to. I can run that place, that person of refuge. I have an anchor that's sure and steadfast. Glad that He said, whithersoever thou goest,
He ever made me.
It's never a place.
I love Him.
And we come.
That's all I want to say.
No matter how high we climb, no matter how low we go,
how many
He's there.
sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love Him? How I worship and adore Him when I can see no way. Ever made me, I love Him. That's all I want to say. Did I mention He's been faithful to every promise He ever made me? I love Him. That's all.